Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Kuf Yud Beis. Begin on the second line down for the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, one of the halachas of our Mishnah, which talks about the laws of inheritance, spoke about a category of a ish yerish es ishtoi, that a man inherits his wife, but when he dies, his wife does not inherit him, which are called the neichlin ve'en manchilin. So the Gemara says, what's the source for that halacha? So there was the opinion of the first Braisa, which is the opinion of Rebbe Kiva, that we learned now from She'ere, which refers to ishtoi, which the Gemara had to explain two different interpretations, how you get that in that pasuk. Then there was the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who said that no, it's learned out from the explicit halacha in the Torah. The Torah says, V'chol bas yereshes nachlim imatis b'nei Yisrael, any daughter that will inherit the inheritance of the tribes of the Jewish people, where what happens is that she inherits from her father and her mother, which are from two different tribes, the halacha is, if there's no other sons, just her, so she inherits it. Says the Torah, it was specifically for that generation that inherited the land of Eretz Yisrael, that she has to marry a man from the same tribe as her father. So that's what's called Hasaba Sabal. We're concerned about the transfer from the domain of her father's tribe to her husband's tribe if he's from a different tribe. So you see, obviously, that a husband inherits a wife, because what's the concern if she marries a man from a different tribe? Obviously, because if she dies, her husband's going to inherit her. So that's the source of the halacha. Now, but Rabbi Shmuel didn't stop over there. He brought pasuk after pasuk after pasuk that was illustrating the same halacha that a husband inherits a wife, some of them regarding the same idea where a wife's not allowed to marry a man from a different tribe, and some other psukim which also verified this concept. So that's where the Gemara continues and asks, Maiva Omer, what were all these extra psukim that Rabbi Shmuel brought to illustrate this halacha of a man inheriting his wife? What's wrong with the first pasuk that seems to indicate this halacha clearly? So says the Gemara, because if you're going to say that actually it's not because the husband's going to inherit his wife, and that's why she's not allowed to marry a man from a different tribe, rather it's because the son that she'll have from her husband, who yes, the son will inherit the mother, and he has the same tribe as his father, so it's actually besibas habenko kapitkra. You would say that maybe actually the pasuk is concerned about the transfer from her father's tribe to a different tribe, not because her husband inherits her, but because her son, who's closer than her husband, he's going to be the one that inherits her. Avobala yaris, but I could still tell you that the husband does not inherit the wife. That's why Tarshama, that's why Rabbi Shmuel went and brought a different pasuk that said, v'leisisav nachal levnei Yisrael mimata el mata, that you now let her transfer the inheritance of the Jewish people from one tribe to another tribe. Now, what do we need another pasuk for? It's the same as the previous pasuk. Obviously, and that's what Rabbi Shmuel is coming to prove, that it's coming to tell us a different transfer, which is not the transfer from the mother's tribe to her son's tribe, but rather from the mother's tribe to her husband's tribe, because we see that the husband inherits his wife. But still, Rabbi Shmuel brought more psukim. Why? Because as follows. Because you could still argue and say, b'chitem, and if you're going to say, no, it was lav or lav b'lav asay, that actually both psukim are talking about Sibasaben, that it's going to transfer to a different tribe through the inheritance of her son. So why is the pasuk repeat another time? It's not intending to go ahead and warn regarding marrying into another tribe because of the concern about the husband, but rather it's just that she could become liable for lashes. Because from the first pasuk, all you see is a violation of a positive commandment. Because the words in the pasuk are, she has to go le'echad mishpachas mateviyah tili'isha. She has to be a wife to a tribe from the same one as her father, which the inference is, but not to another tribe. But what's called a lava ba machlal asay, a negative commandment that's only inferred from a positive statement, has the same strength as a positive commandment. So therefore, she wouldn't get lashes. That's why you need the other pasuk, which says it in a negative connotation, the leisis of nachla, you're not allowed to do this, to give her lashes. But therefore, maybe both of them are still talking about the son. Tashama, that's where Bishma went and brought another pasuk. A different pasuk, it says, leisis of nachla mimata lamata acher. She's not allowed to transfer the inheritance from one tribe to another tribe. So what's that extra pasuk for? Obviously, that's talking about the husband. But still, you could argue, and that's Rabbi Shmuel wrote another pasuk. V'chitem, if you're going to say, lav or lav b'shnei lav v'asei, no, maybe they're all talking about the son. But the Torah wanted to increase the punishments, and the Torah considers this a severe thing, that it wants to give her actually two sets of lashes, two negative commandments, and a violation of a positive commandment. How do you know any one of them are referring to the husband? Tashma, that's why this is Rabbi Shmuel brought another pasuk that says, V'elazar ben Aaron meis v'goymer, that Elazar, the son of Aaron, died, as we explained this in the previous daf, and it says that he was buried in the hill of his son Pinchas. Now the question was, how does Pinchas have something that his father didn't have. What do you mean Pinchas had it? It's Elazar's, and Pinchas only gets what he inherited in the land of Eretz from his father. Rather proved Rabbi Shmuel, obviously, how does Pinchas have something? Because he married a woman, the woman died, and he inherited from her. And only then did his father die, but then Pinchas already had a land that he inherited from his wife. He doesn't only inherit from his father. So, therefore, you see clearly that a man inherits his wife. But still, Rabbi Shmuel brought another pasuk. Why? Because of Chitim, and if you're going to say that actually it was Elazar who denosev Itza. Elazar married a woman, Umesa, and that wife died while Elazar was still alive. The Yarta Pinchas, actually maybe we cannot prove from this pasuk of Pinchas having inheritance before his father died, where to get it from, obviously, from his wife, so you see a husband inherits a wife. No, maybe actually a husband does not inherit a wife. And the reason why Pinchas had a piece of land was because he inherited from his mother, because he got it and not Elazar. The husband does not inherit the wife, rather the son does. And actually what it's coming to teach us is that the son inherits the mother. Now, at this point, if that's what the Gemara is trying to deflect and say that's why Yishmael needed another pasuk, because maybe actually it was that Pinchas got it from his mother, but the difficulty is, but we already know from all those previous pesukim, because we're explaining that those pesukim we said are not talking about the husband, rather talking about the son, so why would we need this pasuk talking about in Sefer Yeshua that it's a son inherits the mother? And that says Rashbam, because you could say that actually the first three pesukim were actually talking about Sibas Habas, where actually, as we learned on the previous daf, Kofir Alf and Alf, that a daughter inherits a mother. And therefore, the first three pesukim that we brought actually would be required to tell us that there's two negative prohibitions and the positive commandment regarding the daughter who inherits the mother. But we don't find that a son inherits his mother explicitly. The only source actually, as we brought in the previous daf, was from a kavuchemer from the daughter, which was a flawed kavuchemer, because you could say dayoy and say that that shouldn't give him precedence and preference because he can't be stronger than the daughter that he's learning out from. That's what the Gemara is entertaining to say. Well, that maybe is what you're learning out from this pasuk of Pinchas. That's coming to teach us that a son inherits his mother. And again, therefore, you don't have a source necessarily that we're concerned for Sibas Habal. Maybe it's just teaching us a different halach. It's coming to teach us that the son inherits his mother. And that's how Pinchas had a piece of land from his mother to bury his father. So therefore, Toshima. That's why Rabbi Shmuel brought a fifth pasuk that says, Uskuv hoiledes yar v'gaymer. That Skuv gave birth to Yar, and so it's explained on the previous stuff. It says, Vehi loy, and he had, who's he had? Obviously, it's going back on Yar, these 23 cities in Eretz Agila. Now, how did Yar have land that his father Skuv didn't have? If his father was alive, how did he have this land? The only way it went was that those of that generation had, and then the children inherited. Obviously, it's because Yar married a woman, she died, and he inherited her, and that's how he could have land before his father even passed away. Now, but still, says the Gemara, now, if you're going to say that the same thing would apply over there, maybe we want to refute even the last pasuk Rabbi Shmuel brought. Because maybe you could say the same thing like you said by Pinchas. That maybe what happened was that his father Skuv had a wife, and the wife died, and the son Yar inherited his mother. And therefore, again, so therefore you don't have any proof to show that it was he inherited from his wife. Maybe inherited from his mother. And therefore we have no proof that a husband inherits a wife. Well, that says the Gemara, but that's what Rabbi Shmuel was saying. But then why would I need two psukim to tell us that a son inherits his mother like a daughter? Obviously, it's not coming to teach us that because we already know that from the pasuk by Pinchas. Obviously, that was the proof of Rabbi Shmuel that even if we could refute all the psukim up until this last one, but obviously that a husband inherits a wife, and that is how Yar had these 23 cities from his wife who passed away and he inherited. Now that asks the Gemara. Now that we explained the brice of the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, Amalir Papa Labai. Papa asked Abai, Mimai, how do you know this to be correct? I still don't understand the proof of Rabbi Shmuel. Dil Malaylame Malach, maybe still I'll tell you that actually Baal Lo Yaras, that a husband does not inherit his wife. V'kroi b'sibas haben k'dishaninon, and actually all these psukim that are concerned for the transfer from one tribe to another tribe, was actually for the concern of when the woman marries this husband from another tribe, it's not because the husband will inherit her, rather because the son will inherit her. Now, so what's with the later proofs that were not regarding changing, transferring tribes, but rather that we found that sons had parts of Eretz Yisrael before their fathers passed away, and then we proved that, how they had that? Obviously they had it from their wives who died. And then we said, no, maybe not from the wives, maybe from the mothers, but then we said, why would we need two psukim to teach that idea? And says the Rav Papa, no. V'yar dizavin mizvin. You want to know how Yar had a piece of land? Very simply. He bought it with money, these cities. He bought you. There's two types of lands. You could have what's mikna, and you could have inheritance. And you're right, inheritance he can't have because a husband does not inherit a wife. But maybe he bought it, and therefore maybe the pasuk is not coming to teach us anything really in regards to halachas of nachla. Rather, it's just coming to teach us about the wealth of Yar, as we find says Rashba many times in Navi, that it just comes to teach us more or less is not necessarily halachic teachings. And actually, what Rashbam explains the Gemara is trying to do is say what's called Le Mebaya. In other words, we don't have to say that if the Pasuk is talking about Yerusha, as we were saying up until now, that we said, okay, so then why would we need two Pesukim to teach this same idea? So and that is what the Gemara is saying, is that the Pesukim are not coming to teach us anything more than the wealth of what was Bayar. And even if you want to say that there is halacha concept, so you could say that, okay, but it's talking about not the transfer from the husband to the from the wife to the husband, rather to her son. But that's what Papa is saying. It could even ask you bigger than that. Because you could say that the pasuk is not talking about inheritance at all. And therefore, actually, you wouldn't be able to learn that not the transfer to the husband, and maybe not even transfer to the son. Rather, I could tell you, says Rapapa, that both of them just bought the land. And it's just talking about a moral lesson regarding the wealth of these individuals. Now, even more than that, is that you could even say, says Rashbam, and this is the question that Rapapa is asking, is that the Tan himself didn't really expound the superfluosity of these psukim to prove his point. Rather, the Tan Rabbi Shmuel was just saying, well, how's it possible that Pinchas had land? How's it possible Yair had land? But and that is what Rapapa is asking. What do you mean? Of course he could have land. Not because inheritance. You're right, what inheritance? You want to prove inheritance from his wife? No, he bought it. And that's how he had it. So the Yar de Zavin Mizvin, Yar had the land because he bought it. Upichas Nami de Zavin Mizvin. And therefore the same thing you could say about Pinchas is that he also bought it. Now, actually, on this point of Pinchas, explains Rashbam that there's an additional chiddush in the question of Rapapa on this point. And that is because without this question, the point is that you also cannot learn out, as we said, up until now, we said that you cannot learn out the transfer from the wife to the husband, as we said, because we said that if you're going to say that maybe that Pinchas did not get it from his wife, maybe he got it from his mother, as we mentioned that before. But that's what is coming to add on and say, but the idea that Rapapa is asking is that actually I could tell you that even regards to Pinchas himself as the son, which we could even say that although originally we thought that we could learn out from this that the husband inherits the wife, and then we said, okay, no, you can't necessarily prove that. But then we said, okay, it's because why can't you prove that? Because maybe it's actually that Pinchas inherited as a son from his mother. And that says, Rapapa, I could actually tell you that you can't even learn that inheritance of a son from a mother. Why not? Because they're not talking about even any inheritance over here. You want to know how he had the land? He bought the land. And therefore it doesn't prove, not even what you want to prove, Rabbi Shmuel, that the husband inherits. I could even tell you that even the son doesn't inherit. So that's Rapapa's question to Abaye. So then Amalei, so Abaye responds back to Rapapa, and he says, one thing says Abaye to Rapapa, that this added question, this you're taking the question even further, and you're asking from Pinchas and saying that forget about proving that the husband can inherit, but I could even refute that even that the son inherits. And that says Abaye, no, that for sure your question is not difficult. Pinchas de Zavin Mizvin Le Metzisa Amid. You can't say that Pinchas went and bought this piece of land, and that's the piece of land that he went and buried his father in. Because Dimkain, if that would be the case, Nimtzis Sadoch Ezeres B'Yevul, there's Alacha, that's the difference between the Stei Achuz and the Stei Mikna. A field that you inherit and a field that you buy. A field that you inherit is yours forever, it goes through the family and it's supposed to continue. A field that you buy, although it's yours, but it's yours only up until the Yevul year, and then it goes back to who you bought it from. So if this would be a field that he bought, which goes back to a different owner by the Yevul year, V'nimtzit tzadik kavur bekever she'en yishalei, and that would come out that the righteous, his father, Elazar, was buried in a grave that wasn't his. And because it's not going to be in the family, it's going to go back to the original owner. So on that, Abaye says to Rapapa, so therefore, by default, for sure, we got to talk about that this land was inherited. You want to tell me that I cannot prove that it was inheritance of Pinchas from his wife? To prove Rabbi Shmuel? For that I hear your question. But definitely you can't take it any further and say that you can't even prove that he inherited from his mother and at least that the son has inheritance, where therefore we don't have to come onto that kavochemeh pricha that we had from the previous daf to learn it only from a kavochemeh from a daughter. That for sure, says Abaya, had to be something that was inherited, because or else then Elazar would have been buried in a property that's not his. But what Abaye does concede to Rav Papa is that you definitely could ask all the questions that you had asked up until now. Because even without this question, there's still all these other questions that we definitely cannot learn from these psukim that the husband inherits. It could be that the son inherits. So therefore, that question has not been resolved, but definitely the son is inheriting on some level. Now, on that, Rav Papa actually responds back to Abaye and says, no. Ela'ema, rather, what I could tell you is that, you know how Pinchas had this land? Fine, he couldn't have bought it because then it would go back. But the Nafalei Mistei Charamim. Pinchas was the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, they were Kahanim. Now the Pasuk says in Bemidbar Yotches, Kol Cherim BiYisrael L'Chayiyah, there are certain types of Hekdesh called Cherim that goes to the Kahanim, or from another Pasuk in Vayikach of Zayin, V'hoi Yasada B'tzeis B'yevu Kodesh L'Hashem Kistei HaCherim, there are certain lands when there's no owners, it goes to the Kahanim, like a field of Cherim, which gets split amongst the Kahanim. Now, we could say at that time in history, there were many charamim, and Elazar took his portion in those charamim, and then Pinchas got his chalik, and one of those chalakim was that giver where he buried his father, Elazar. And therefore, says Rav Papa, I could even tell you that you can't even prove that a son inherits the mother, because how did Pinchas have the land? Not that he bought it. He had it from one of the matnas kahuna that kahanim get, which are stei charamim, and that's how he had a piece of land, even not from his wife, not from his mother. He got it from this halacha stecher ramim, and therefore says Rav Papa, not only do we not prove Rabbi Shmuel's point of a husband inheriting a wife, but we don't even prove that even the son inherits the mother in regards to the Yerusha. So that's where this discussion concludes, where not the Gemara not concluding with the understanding of Rabbi Shmuel's proof, and even further, where Rav Papa even asking that you don't even necessarily know from here that the son inherits the mother. Now, with the Rashbam's girsa, the Gemara continues on a related discussion, whereas according to Taisus, it's actually continuation, and the Girsayas will be important in understanding the text of the Gemara based on these different interpretations, and we're going to go with the Rashbam's interpretation. So the Gemara continues, and Amar Abaye. So Abaye asked the following question. The way the Rashbam explains the question is, what Abaye is discussing is regarding what we had been discussing on the previous daf. There's a pasuk that says, V'chol bas yereshes nachla, regarding any daughter that inherits inheritance from her parents. And now, regarding there was halacha that she has to marry someone that will not cause a transfer from the tribe that she's in to a different tribe. Now, what Abaye's question is it exacting particular how the pasuk says it? Because the words the pasuk says is la'achad mimishpachas matia viyati le'isha. So she has to make sure to marry a husband that's from the same tribe of her father, so that what she inherits should not go to a different tribe. But what it sounds like is that with regards to the tribe of her mother, because the thing is that she's inheriting from both her father and her mother, as we had the deek on the previous daf, where it uses one word to connote to the inheritance of both of her parents, meaning in a plural, where she's having inheritance from two different tribes. So her mother's from a different tribe. So although her mother's from one tribe and now she's going to marry a man from a different tribe, which is going to transfer her mother's inheritance to a different tribe, that we're not concerned for. Or maybe, do we need actually that the man that she married should also be from her mother's family? Now, although the pasuk only says mishpachas aviha, that's to be the same family as her father, that's not necessarily. Because the truth is, you also need to have someone that's from the same family as her mother, as the Gemara will conclude in the Maskana. Now, so therefore, that's Abaye's question, that this pasuk that says v'chol basi reshes nachla mimatis, that any daughter that inherits inheritance from tribes. Now, as we explained, that refers to inheriting from two different tribes, because her father, let's say, is from Shevet Reuven, her mother is from Shevet Shimon, and then they die, and there's no sons, she's the only daughter, she inherits it. And that says the Torah, la'achan mishpachas matei aviha le'isha, that to one of the families from the tribe of her father, that's who she should get married as a wife, which is Shevet Reuven. And now that she gets married to someone from Shevet Reuven, and she gives birth to a child, now if, let's say, her son inherits her, or if she dies and her husband inherits her, now, that son or that husband is Mesiachis, is on the Yichus of Shevet Reuven, which is according to the same tribe as her father. On that asks Abaye the following question. Saiv Saiv, so at the end of the day, Hakam is Akar Nachla, it's still going to be uprooting the inheritance from one tribe to another. Why? It's going to go Meshiv to the Ima, Leshiv to the Abba. It's going to transfer from the tribe of her mother to the tribe of her father, because what's coming out is that this inheritance that she's inheriting from her mother, who is from Shevet Shimon, is going to be transferred from Shevet Shimon to Shevet Reuven. Now, the problem with that is that the Pasuk warns us of a lesis of Nachla. The inheritance should not be transferred from one tribe to another tribe. In other words, that you should be careful with any marriage of women at a time that they get married, that it shouldn't cause any transfer of inheritance, which sounds like that it doesn't make a difference the transfer of inheritance from the father of this woman, or neither does it make a difference regarding the transfer of the inheritance that she got from her mother. By both of them, the Torah is particular that it should not be transferred to another tribe. Which, that's problematic, because although she's staying with the same tribe as her father, but her mother's tribe is being transferred. Now, later on the Gemara is going to ask, but by default, obviously the Pasuk says clearly, L'mishpachas mati aviyah. The Pasuk says clearly that it's only concerned about her father, but it's not concerned with the family of her mother. And since it's not concerned, so obviously that although it says in the Pasuk Leisisiv, the particularity is only regarding the inheritance that she inherited from her father, and it's not concerned with the mother. That the Gemara is going to address, and the Abaye is actually going to answer later on, because you could actually say that we require her to marry a man that's similar to her, where her father is the same, his father was the same tribe as her father, and his mother is the same tribe as where her mother was from, which was from Shimon. But either way, that's Abaye's question, which is, that what does it help if she marries the same tribe as her father, but her mother's tribe is being transferred? So Rosh Hashanah responds and says, "Umimai, but how do you know this from?" V'dilma shani hasim shikvar husava. Maybe there it's different regarding her mother's tribe, because by the time she gets married, it already was transferred from her mother's tribe to a different tribe. In other words, truth is, says the Gemara, I could tell you that the pasuk is not particular if we transfer the mother's tribe, her inheritance, to another tribe. Why? Why would we not be concerned? It says, well, he sees some nachla. It doesn't make a difference. The reason is because by default, it already was transferred from the moment that this woman inherited her mother, who her mother was from tribe of Shimon, the moment it goes to that daughter, even before she gets married. This girl, her father is from Shevet Reuven. Now, what is the Shevet that the girl is in? The Yichus goes based on the father. So it comes out that from herself already, the moment she inherits the inheritance of her mother from Shevet Shimon, it already went from Shevet Shimon to Shevet Reuven without her even getting married. So therefore, when she gets married to someone that's from the same tribe of her father, that makes a lot of sense. Because the Torah was only concerned regarding inheritance that she inherited from her father, that she shouldn't marry another tribe. Because what she inherits from her father will then be maintained in the same tribe that it always was. Because she was in Shevet Reuven, and that's what her father was, and when she gets married, it'll stay like that. Now, whereas regarding the mother, they wouldn't make a difference because the moment she inherited, it already got transferred from her mother's tribe to her tribe, which is a different tribe. Now, which that Abaye asks back and says, which according to the Rashbam, the Girsa would have to be not Omale, but Vidilma, is that maybe, says Abaye, no, that my question would still be valid. Because Shekfahu Saba Lo Yaminan, maybe we don't say this logic of that, oh, we definitely cannot be concerned about the transfer from the mother's tribe to a different tribe because it already got transferred from the mother to the daughter. And that, says Abaye, no. In other words, that actually from the fact that it was transferred already a little bit, we don't necessarily say, oh, that now we're not concerned anymore for the transfer of the mother's tribe, if it's going to get totally forever now uprooted. And maybe, actually, says Abaye, we would require her to get married to an individual that is not going to be totally from Shevet Reuven. Because if the person she's marrying is a true, through and through Shevet Reuven person, that his father and his mother was from Shevet Reuven, what's going to happen then is that her mother's inheritance is going to be totally uprooted from what this daughter inherited when she goes and marries someone that's totally from Shevet Reuven because her mother was from Shevet Shimon. And that says Abaye that no, maybe we shouldn't say that because the Torah tells us Leisisiv, which sounds like that when a woman gets married, it should not be an uprooting from one tribe to another tribe. Now, although it was addressed and it was asked that it was already transferred already a little bit from when the mother died and the daughter inherited her, and that says Abaye, maybe we shouldn't go ahead and make a larger and more concrete transfer and totally uproot it. Because maybe what we should do is, we should do something that requires when she gets married that should actually fix that problem and make the inheritance of the mother's tribe go back and may be maintained in the mother's tribe. Now, as Rashbam explained, since Abaye knew that there was something to do about it, as the Gemara explained later on, that it should not totally uproot the inheritance and the tribe of the mother, That's why he asked that maybe we don't say this logic of Kvahu Saba, that it was already removed, and therefore we're not concerned about her marrying someone different than her mother's tribe, because there's something to do about it. Or maybe that was his question, that no, the Torah, the Pasuk, was not concerned about this idea, because the Torah was only particular about her marrying her someone that's from the same tribe of her father, but regarding her mother's tribe, the Torah was not concerned. That's Abaye's question. Now, on that, Amalei Rav Yemir l'Rav Ashi. So, regarding Abaye's question, Rav Yemir said to Rav Ashi, and he was wondering, why is Abaye in doubt regarding this question? If we say Kfar Husaba, or we don't say it, and that says Rav Yemir, most definitely from the pasuk we understand that we do say this logic of Kfar Husaba, that in other words, it was already taken away and therefore we're not concerned about the mother anymore. Because obviously the Torah is not particular if we uproot the inheritance from her mother's tribe, because as the pasuk says clearly, Le'echad Mimishpachas Mati Avia, it says that she has to marry someone from the same tribe of our father, and we're not concerned about her mother's tribe. Why? Says Rav Yemir as follows. Because Iyamit Bishloima Shikfar Husaba, if you say this logic of that, we already say it was already transferred from the mother tribe to a different tribe when the daughter inherited. So actually the next line, which the Taisis would have this gear, so because he learns it's going back on the previous sugi, which according to Rashbam, it's a different discussion. The words are Hainu de Metuk Makra, so that's what the Pasuk would be addressing, Bemesibas HaBen, Bemesibas HaBal, both regarding the transfer of the son and regarding the transfer of the husband, which we're concerned that it should never transfer to a different tribe, whether through the inheritance of her husband or her son, where that would be okay, where, okay, since they're both from the same tribe as her father, so her husband or her son inheriting wouldn't create a problem. And regarding her mother's inheritance, that neither would make a problem either, because we said it was already transferred from the mother to the daughter. So it wouldn't be a problem when she marries a man just from her husband, just from her father's tribe. Now, however, actually, according to the Rashbam's Girsa, the word is actually shaper. Taking out that whole line that we just quoted, the Girsa would be, if you say that we say Kvar Husaba, then shaper would be very good. Why? Because the pasuk is not particular if we're uprooting the inheritance of the mother, as we quoted, because the pasuk says, Le'echad Mimishpachas Mati Avia. It's just concerned about marrying the same man from the same tribe as her father, because most definitely we're going to be uprooting the inheritance of the mother when she marries someone that's only from the same tribe as her father. But what he asks on Abaye, if you're entertaining to say, but if you say, which Abaye was entertaining, that we don't necessarily say this logic of Kfar Husaba, as he said, that maybe we don't say because there's something to do about it. Maybe we still require her to marry someone from the same tribe as her mother. On that asks Rav Yemir, well then, my hava. So if Abaye is concerned about that, the words are kiminsav le'echad mimishpachas mati avia. So then you run into a problem, says Rav Yemir. So when she goes ahead and marries someone from the same tribe as her father, as the pasuk tells us, it only says marrying someone from the same tribe as her father. So my hava. So then what does that help us? So it's uprooting the inheritance that's from our mother's tribe to the tribe that's the same one as our father. So in other words, what Rabim is trying to say is obviously you could infer from the pasuk that we must say the logic of Kfar Husaba. And therefore, since the Torah says Lo Yisisav, obviously it's only going on the inheritance that she gets from her father. But the inheritance that she got from her mother, Kvar Husaba, it already was transferred anyway to a different tribe when the daughter inherited. And we're not concerned anymore for a total uprooting of it for eternity when she goes and marries someone else who then is forever going to be taken up and absorbed into that other tribe, either through inheritance of her son or from her father. So what's this that Abaye is having this question about, maybe you do say, but how can you say that? Because then what would we do with the problem about that the Torah only says she has to marry someone from her father's tribe? Now, on that, the Gemara goes and then answers for Abaye and says, no, the question of Abaye is valid. That this, the question that he had, if we say Kfar Husaba, which is, it would sound like from the pasuk, like Rav Yemir is asking, because it only says, Mimishpachas Mati Avia Ti Le'isha, that she only has to marry someone from the same tribe as her father, which this is obviously uprooting the inheritance of her mother's tribe. And although it says in the pasuk Le'isisav, but that we could say that the Torah is only warning regarding not transferring from the inheritance from her father, but not the inheritance of her mother. Good. That was one option which Rav Yemir is saying is pretty obvious. And that's, the Gemara says that no. Abaye's question was that maybe you say that no, Le'isisav is specifically in general, then you're not allowed to transfer, even the Torah's warning regarding the inheritance from her mother. And we do not say Kfar HaSaba. Now, so then the question was, but the Torah only says that she has to marry someone from the same tribe as her father. And that the Gemara entertains for Abai to say that no, that's Lav Dafka. Rather, the Torah is requiring her to marry a man that's similar to her in both aspects. What does that mean? As the Gemara explains, Dimin Savino no Lagavra, because the Torah requires her to marry a man, the Avuhi Mishivta Davua, that his father is the same as the tribe as her father, V'ime Mishivta Dima, and that his mother is the same as the tribe of her mother. In other words, his father is from Shevet Reuben like her father, and his mother is from Shevet Shimon like her mother, which is exactly like this woman. Now that is what Abai is entertaining to say, which that would not be uprooting anybody's inheritance. Where for sure the inheritance of her father is not being uprooted at all because she's from Shevet Reuben and she's getting married to a man from Shevet Reuben. Where both her husband and her son are both being Mesiachas on Shevet Reuben. Now, although that it's uprooting this, that although that originally that she was from Shevet Reuben, this woman, and now it's being transferred a little bit to a man that's a little bit from Shevet Shimon, because his mother's from Shevet Shimon, that's not transferring her father's inheritance, because the Torah did not make it forbidden for a man from Shevet Reuben to marry a woman from Shevet Shimon, so that his son should not inherit what he's inheriting from his mother, even though that's going to transfer to her from the mother to a person that's totally from Shevet Reuben, where although he's a son that's from Shevet Shimon from his mother's side, and this inheritance from her mother is the same thing that she's a daughter, is also from Shevet Shimon, that's not getting uprooted, because if her husband, who's from Shevet Shimon from his mother's side, and he's from Shevet Reuben from his father's side, if he inherits her, or her son inherits, it comes out that now the same inheritance is the same exact as it always was. That paternally and maternally, you have a man that's the same as this woman. So it retains in this positioning as being part Shevet Reuben, Shevet Shimon. So that says Abaya, that's my question. Maybe when the Torah requires her to get married and not transfer the tribes, it means he has to be maintained on both sides from the father and the mother. No, but then the question then becomes, as we continue to Medbeis, Ihachi, if that's the case that a woman that inherits from two tribes, from her mother and her father who are from two different tribes, that we require that the man she gets married to should also have to be born from these two different tribes. So ask the Gemara, then Haile Echad Mimishpachas Mati Avia Ve'ima Miboile. Because, and this was the pink elephant we were discussing the whole time. Then, and that's what Rav Yehuda was asking from. Hey, what do you mean? The Torah only requires her to marry someone that's from the same tribe of her father. Based on what you're saying, the Torah should have said that, it's because the word matis means she's getting it from two tribes, it should require her to marry a man from Mati Avia and Mati Ima. From the fact that it only says she has to marry a man from the same tribe as her father, from there you could infer that the Torah was not concerned about uprooting the inheritance of her mother, because you must say Shekfar Husaba, it already was transferred from the mother's tribe to the daughter's tribe, which is the same as her father, and therefore, so we're back to the question, what was Abai's question? And that the Gemara answers, you're right, really you should say that, because like Abai's question is, she really has to marry a man from both tribes, but if it would have said that she should marry a man from the same tribe as her father and her mother, then I would have thought to say that the same thing would be even if it's in the reverse. Meaning, if let's say his father is from Shevet Shimon and his mother is from Shevet Reuben, although her father is from Reuben and her mother is from Shimon, I would have thought to say that the Torah is not particular, just that as long as he's from two tribes, just like she's from two tribes in the same two tribes, whether it's in the same exact way that it's by her or whether the opposite way, here also you're not uprooting the inheritance of the father or the inheritance of the mother totally, because this husband, he is somewhat from Shevet Reuben, he's also somewhat from Shevet Shimon, and it would come out that the inheritance is both being maintained in both of these Shvatim. That's why Kamash Malan, that's why the Torah particularly picked that she has to marry a man from the tribe of the Shevet of her father, because that's the primary yichus of the husband, that he has to be the same tribe as her father's tribe. Because if his father was from Shevet Shimon, even if his mother was from Shevet Reuben, that would be uprooting the inheritance of the tribe of Reuben to the tribe of Shimon, because the primary yichus of the son goes after the father, and so too the daughter goes after the father. Now, However, from the fact that it says leisisiv, from there we do understand, and that's the crux of where Abai is asking from, that we still understand that the man that she's marrying has to have that his mother is the same tribe as her mother's tribe, so that it doesn't totally uproot neither, not only the father, but the mother's tribe too. And that is what Abai's question was from the beginning. That ultimately, what's going to happen is if he's going to marry only from the tribe of her father, it's going to be uprooting the tribe of her mother. If you don't want to explain and say that she has to marry a man that his mother is from the same tribe as her mother and his father is going to have to be the same tribe as his father. Now, because you had a question and said, well, if it was that she has to, then why does it say only Mati Avi? It should say Mati Avi Avima. And what about Leisisa? That you're not concerned for, because you're going to say that that's not talking about transferring the inheritance of the mother, because that you said the logic of Kfar Husaba, and therefore we're not concerned for that. That is what Abai's question was, and no, maybe to the contrary. Maybe the primary starting point should be Leisisa, which that says that you don't transfer any one inheritance, not only from a father, but even from a mother. And we don't say the logic of Kfar Husaba, because although it was transferred to the daughter, but that's not eternally. What will be eternally is depending on what type of man she's marrying. So therefore, maybe although that it says in the pasuk Mata Avia, that's lav davka. Because this that it doesn't say Mata Avia v'ima is only because had we said that, we would have thought the same thing would apply even if it's in the reverse type of an order. And maybe I could tell you that really she has to marry a man that he also has the same tribe as her mother from his mother, so that it doesn't totally uproot the inheritance of her mother. And it only says Matavir to show that, because that's the primary one, meaning that his father should also be the same as her father. And therefore, since you could say this, we don't say Kfar Husaba, and therefore maybe that she would still have to marry a man that's from the same tribe as her mother too. And therefore, that does not resolve Abai's question. And therefore, that's Abai's legitimate question. What do we say regarding the mother? Do we say Kfar Husaba or do we not? Do we say that she has to marry a man not only from the same tribe as her father, but maybe even from the same tribe as her mother from his mother? Now, going back to what we had discussed previously, the Gemara says from the previous daf, Tanya besibas haben. So we have a brisa that explains both regarding the concern about a woman marrying and transferring her inheritance from her father to another tribe through her son. And with Tanya besibas habal, we also learned in the brisa that's concerned about her getting married, which then is going to transfer the inheritance from her father to another tribe through her husband. In other words, as Rashbam explains, although we explained the two psukim that the Gemara is going to quote in this brisa, we explained on the previous daf that these pasuk of, let's say, Leisisev Nachal of Nei Yisrael Mematel Mata, and we discussed it also a little bit on this daf, and the other pasuk of Leisisev Nachal Mematel Mata Achar, the Gemara had previously explained that maybe both of these psukim could be talking about nothing to do with a husband inheriting a wife, but rather both of them are talking about the son inheriting the mother. And so what you need two psukim for is coming to teach us two negative prohibitions on it. As we learned, that's why it says va'imah va'imah, because it's not a definitive proof until we had to the last pasuk, which even that the Gemara said it's not necessarily a proof. Even so, the Gemara now tells us we do find brises that explain this first pasuk by sibas haben, and the second talking about sibas habal, meaning that it's being transferred to another tribe through the inheritance of the husband. Where the reason for that is the Gemara in the next daf will explain, they're being medayik from the words that it says in the pasuk lamate achar, to a different mate, where a son is never called an achar, and rather who is another must be through the husband. And for the fact that the second quote is referring to the husband's transfer, so it must be that the first pasuk is talking about being transferred through the son. Now, actually, both of these brises are both talking about the transfer of the son and the transfer of the husband, because actually both of these brises are explaining both of these psukim and explain that one of the psukim are talking about the transfer to another tribe through the son, and the other pasuk talking about the transfer to another tribe through the husband. So actually, because of that, according to the Girsa of the Rashbam, that these two brises are both saying the same idea, so according to him, the Girsa would not include the next three words of Tanya Besibas Aben that we learned in the brisa regarding the transfer of the son, because actually both brises are talking about both elements. So the pasuk says, "V'leisisav nachla l'vnei Yisrael mimatel mata," which is this prohibition that we were discussing, that you're not allowed to transfer inheritance of the Jewish people from one tribe to another tribe. Says the brisa, "Besibas haben akasam adaba." The Torah, the pasuk here is talking about the concern of if you marry a different tribe, that's going to be transferred from the tribe that she inherited from her father through the inheritance of her son, who's from a different tribe. Says the Braisa, "Ata oimei b'sibas aben." Do you really say that it's talking about the transfer through the son? Ayein eile b'sibas abal. Maybe it's through the transfer because her husband that's going to inherit her is from a different tribe. And that says the Braisa, no, because kishuaimei, when the different pasuk says v'leisisem nachla mimata l'mata acher, then you not transfer the inheritance from this tribe to a different tribe. That's referring to the transfer of the husband, which the Gemara in the next daf will prove. How do we see that from this pasuk? So, then what do I do with the first pasuk? If that other pasuk already refers to the husband, what's this first pasuk of concerning of transfer talking about? It must be referring to the transfer of a woman to a different tribe through the inheritance of her son. Continues the Gemara in the next daf from Kofi Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Tanidach, I learned another braisa that says the same idea, but from a different point. It says, and it quotes the second pasuk first. V'leisisem nachla mimatal mata achir. Now transfer inheritance from one tribe to a different tribe. Says the braisa. B'sibas abala kasam adaber. It's talking about the transfer from the woman to the husband who's from a different tribe. And that's prohibited. Now, says the braisa. Ato ime b'sibas abala. You're talking about that's being transferred through the husband. Ayin eil b'sibas aben. Maybe it's someone through the transfer of the son. But when there's the other pasuk, when it says you now transfer inheritance of the Jewish people from one tribe to another tribe, it's already talking about the transfer of the son. So what do I understand from this other pasuk that says you now transfer from one tribe to a different tribe? It must be talking about the transfer from a woman to her husband. Now, as Rashbam explains, that really this is like what's called in Shas many times, Mashmoz Dershin Nikabinayu. They're both saying the same idea, they're just expounding it from different vantage points. Meaning, the Tana of the first Braisa was obvious to him that the second Pasuk, which is Mimata Lamata Acher, was talking about Sibas Abal, that's being transferred through the husband. As the Gemara will later on explain on the next daf, on this daf later on, that from the word Acher, because Acher must be referring to a husband, not a son. So therefore, the first Pasuk, by default, must be talking about Sibas Aben. Because why would you need two psukim to talk about a concern of a transfer through a husband? And the reason for this is, although we had said in the previous, on our daf, on Amud Aleph, and from the previous daf, that we said, no, maybe they're all talking about the son, and they're just coming to add on prohibitions, and that Rashbam explains this time the holes, as we say generally, like the Gemara Psukim of Dalma Beis, that wherever you could expound, and we don't say that the pasuk is just coming to add on more lavin, then we say it's coming to expound for a different chiddush and halacha, not just to add on more lavin. Now, so to the Tana, the second braisa, he actually does not hold the drasha of Acher to prove that it's talking about the husband. Rather, he learns from the opposite vantage point. He says that from logic, he learns the first pasuk talking about the transfer from the woman to her son. The reason for that is because the son is closer than the husband. And therefore, he learned that that was obviously talking to the son. Now, through that, by default, you're left with another pasuk, the second pasuk, which then for sure has to be talking about, not the son, because you already have one pasuk, but the son must be talking about Sibas Habal. So that's what the Gemara is saying, is this idea is that we have two different psukim, which these two different braises are both saying the same idea, just from different points. Which one do they say is the obvious one, which then refers to the other one, about the concern about transfer of tribes from a woman, either to another tribe through her husband or through her son.